I cry unto thee, make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with them that work iniquity. And let me not eat of their dainties. Let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindness. And let him reprove me. It shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head. For yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. When their judges are overthrown in stony places, they shall hear my words, for they are sweet. Our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth, as when one cutteth and cleaveth wood upon the earth. But mine eyes are unto thee, O God the Lord. In thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. Keep me from the snares which they have laid for me, and the gins of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, whilst that I withal escape. So again, we see here it is a psalm of David, and again, the sweet psalmist of David, who of Israel, who was Israel's shepherd king. And this is from Spurgeon in his commentary, The Treasury of David. It says, yes, David under suspicion, half afraid to speak, lest he would speak unadvisedly while trying to clear himself. David slandered and beset by enemies, David censured by saints, and taking it kindly, David deploring the condition of the godly party of whom he was acknowledged head, David waiting upon God with confident expectation. And so often we see these attributes of David as we go through so many of the Psalms. Have you ever had to pray verse 3, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth? Have you ever had to say that? Have you ever had to say, ooh, or have you ever said something before you asked the Lord to set a watch? I have. Open mouth, insert foot. My father used to say this to me all the time. Son, put your brain in gear before you put your mouth in motion. And didn't always listen, but here is the scriptural setting. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. You know, sometimes we want to say things, but we really shouldn't. So, here we go. A couple of words to learn. Watch literally means to guard. So, set a watch. Guard my mouth. That's what it means there. Dainties in verse 4 are delicacies. Okay? Break in verse 5. Verse 5 says, let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness, and let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head. That word break means to refuse. So the meaning is my head will not refuse, this smiting, this reproving that is coming. Snares means traps, and we've seen this word before. Gins means noose. So the picture here is a hunter setting traps for the hunted. So David feels like he's the hunted. The psalm outlines into three parts, verses 1 to 4, a guard at the door, verses 5 to 7, acceptable wounds, and verses 8 to 10, the place of safety. So notice with me verses 1 to 4. Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. So in this first stanza, David, wicked men have set traps for him. So what does he do? He goes to prayer. Once again, we see David in distress. And this time it is again because of wicked men who have set traps for him. He's tempted to say something about them which he might later regret. And so he cries out to God to come quickly to him and let him pray as the morning and evening sacrifice which is acceptable to God. And again, he's asking God to hurry. Please come. Give ear to my voice. He's crying unto them, unto him. And again, the reference here, verse 2, of prayers ascending to God like incense. What was in the tabernacle? What was in the temple right before the curtain, right before the entrance of the Holy to Holies, the altar of incense? And who was a representation, who lived behind the veil was God. And this represented prayers ascending to God. The lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. You know, it would be a good study for you to do on your own one day. Look at all the different postures, the Bible says, in prayer. Sometimes we stand, sometimes we kneel, sometimes we bow our head. The Bible talks about lifting up of hands. Sometimes we, old crotchety New England fundamentalists, struggle with people lifting their hands in prayer and whatnot. It is a Bible thing. So we should never do it, ever, to draw attention to ourselves. But, there's lots of postures for prayer. Sometimes you lay flat out on the ground. I fear we don't do that often enough, laying flat out on the ground. So David says his particular need is that a watch or guard be set over his lips. And even more important than that, he needs an inclination of heart which will not be towards saying anything wicked or practicing any wicked work. Oh, I wish and pray that I would pay more attention to this, you know, especially when someone says something to me. Isn't it very easy to react? Very easy to react. You know, someone says something to you, right away you say something back. You know, someone takes a swing at you, right away you take a swing back. You know, it's very normal and human and fleshly to react. But it's biblical and spiritual to respond. And sometimes to say nothing. You know, sometimes to say nothing. And we need to learn that, friends. Sometimes it's best to say nothing. Because I'm sure, like me, you have dug yourself deeper into a hole just by something you said. You know? And if we only would ask the Lord, please, Lord, set that watch, set that guard on my lips so that I don't say something that further adds fuel to the fire or may just be sorry I said what I said. He wants to have no association with the workers of iniquity, even though they lure him to the table with their sweet delicacies. You know, think about that. It says there, and let me not eat of their dainties. Now think about this. David's the king, you know. And, you know, if you're going to have the king over to your house, you're going to set a pretty good table. Well, you know, these are workers of iniquity trying to lure him in with all the sweets. You know, there is a, what's the Bible say? There's a pleasure of sin for a season. Looks good, tastes good. But, you know, but don't be allured, you know, by the fancy things. You know, don't be allured, even if it's the enemy. Well, look, you know, I'm struggling. They're not struggling. Look at their table. Look at my table. You know, they're eating rye bread, ham and Swiss cheese sandwiches. I just got peanut butter and jelly, you know. And, you know, don't be allured by the fancy things, you know. And ask God to set that watch on your mouth. David goes on to say he wants to speak acceptable words. rather than saying words I'll be sorry for, let me speak acceptably, 5-7. Let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness. Let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head. For yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. When their judges are overthrown in stony places, they shall hear my words, for they are sweet. Our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth, as when one cutteth and cleaveth wood upon the earth. So here in the second stanza, David says, rather than being associated with the wicked, he would rather have a wound from the righteous. What's the Bible say about the wounds of a friend? Precious are the wounds of a friend. You know, a friend should be able to come to us and say, hey, I need to talk to you about something. You know, maybe there's something in my life that's not right. You know, and so let the righteous smite me. David here isn't talking about, you know, being beat up by the righteous, but let them smite me. It shall be a kindness. Let him reprove me. It shall be an excellent oil, which isn't going to break my head. For yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. You know, when someone comes to you and shares something with you, you know, about something that needs to be changed or whatever it may be, thank God for that. Sometimes what do? You get mad at them. How dare you point something out about my life? Do you ever look in the mirror? I mean, you know, of course they have. And of course we know that the people coming to us aren't perfect. But you know, you should thank God when God allows a brother or a sister to come to you and sit down in love and talk to you about something. Accept that. And then have sweet words for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. And he goes on to say, he will consider this a kindness done to him. It's going to be like excellent oil upon his head. For even with such blows, he shall continue. And he can then pray for the wicked and their calamities. You know, sometimes people bring things to us and boy, it hurts. It hurts. You know, and you get some heavy stuff laid on you. But if they're your friend and if they're righteous and they want you to go on in the things of the Lord, it's for your good. Notice the contrast between the dainties of the wicked and the pleasant, sweet words of David as he prays for his enemies. David's case, though, it seemed hopeless. They were like dry bones piled up at the mouth of the grave. And of course, the illustration, if you have a wood stove or anything, you're familiar with this when you're out there, whether you have a wood splitter or you do it the old-fashioned way and you split it with a maul or a sledgehammer and a maul. And, you know, the wood's just, it's just piling up. It's just piling up. It's just piling up all around you. And David said that he felt like their bones were scattered at the grave's mouth. When one cutteth wood, when one cutteth and cleaveth wood upon the earth. But we go to this place where David so often finds at the end of the psalm, the place of safety. But mine eyes are unto thee, O God the Lord. In thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. Keep me from the snares which they have laid for me and the gins of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, whilst that I withal escape. So David, of course, is asking the Lord, you know, Lord, let my eyes be upon you. You know, a lot of times, what do, friends? We have situations come in our life and our life and our eyes are fixed on the situation. Not the Lord. But mine eyes are upon thee, O Lord our God. In thee is my trust. Sometimes we trust in ourselves or whatever. But we need to trust in God. We need to trust in His Word. David realizes his condition and how great was his distress. So he lifts his eyes to the Lord who is his master and says, in thee is my trust. Crazy world out there. It's getting crazier. who knows what's the next thing coming down the line. You know, it's almost like when you think you've seen it all, you know. But we just need to keep trusting the Lord. Keep trusting the Lord. He knew that the Lord was his refuge and help. Then he prays specifically for his specific need, which is that he may be preserved from the traps which the wicked have laid for him. Then he asks the Lord to let them fall into their own nets, while at the same time help him to escape. Think about David. You know, David is a godly king. David is a righteous man. David was a leader of Israel. And Israel had many enemies, and even within Israel there were many enemies of David. And it seems like David was always and daily under attack. I'm doing in my own devotions now a study of the kings. I'm reading through 1st, 2nd Samuel and the Kings and the Chronicles, and I'm in the life of David and how patient David was. When even though he was anointed king, and Saul had been rejected, even though he waited patiently for God. He was hunted, he was hounded, he had to live in caves. There were times his own men came after him. And he would never, even though he had multiple opportunities, he would never kill Saul. And he even killed the man who lied about killing Saul to think that he would get on David's good side. So, you know, we have to trust God. And you and I aren't going to be hounded like David was. And if David could trust God, we surely could trust God. Keep your eyes on him. Sometimes you might have one of those weeks, one of those couple of weeks, one of those months, one of those days, where it just seems to be getting worse and worse and worse. And every time you turn, and every new text or every new phone call, it's something else. Trust in the Lord. Look at verse 8. But mine eyes are unto thee, O God the Lord. In thee is my trust. You can trust in the Lord. Always. So today, friends, as we pray, as we break up for prayer, may we ask the Lord to keep us from those who would set traps for us. Okay? May we ask the Lord, here's a biggie, to guard our mouths from words we would later regret. Okay? Number 3. May we not be lured to the enemy's table by their delicacies. Number 4, may we thank the Lord for the rebukes of the righteous. When our brothers or our sisters come to us with a rebuke, may we thank the Lord for that rebuke. And then may we, like David, pray that we would trust the Lord who is our refuge and help. Okay? And read Psalm 142 next week. And I just want to add a couple of prayer requests here.